This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. I'm Tim Murray here at the D in downtown Las Vegas and joined, as always, by my Thursday partner in crime to break down the full card, the one and only Matt Eumanns. He said he wanted winners. How about 5-1? And the lone loss was a brutal, absolutely disgusting, hideous beat that Scott Van Pelt talked about quite well on his show on Monday night.
Very eloquently, we should put it. Scott Van Pelt going, "What are these people doing?" Yeah, that was a great clip. We're going to replay it on the show. I think we can do that tonight because it was a classic meltdown from Van Pelt. And I got to tell you, if you saw me at the sports book when I watched the end of it, I was doing the same thing at the time. But I'd rather be 5-1 with one bad beat than anything else.
Yeah, so. It was overall back-to-back solid weeks. We hope to keep it rolling. And as we like to say, Matt always reminds me, hey, the past is in the past. We're now looking ahead to the future, and we've got a nice card ahead of us. Week 13, the second to last, or I believe penultimate regular season week. We've got full college football scenarios abound, but we care about games and games this week. So let's get into it. The only way we know how, with the biggest games of the week.
Course.
And just like we all predicted, the biggest game of week 13, of course, would be two top five teams in the Big Ten, Indiana and Ohio State. Number five, Indiana, visiting the Shoe at number two, Ohio State. Big noon kickoff. Our friend Chris Felica, the Bear, will be there with his television show. Our friend Stanford Steve will be there with his television show. It's a loaded game in Columbus. And right now, Matt, we have Indiana in this spot on the road at Ohio State as a 11.5 or 12 point underdog, total sitting around 51.5.
Yeah, how about this? So I was up working at 5 o'clock this morning and writing up my Friday column, and I'm watching the screen. I've got Indiana plus 13.5. I sent it to Wyatt Tomchek, our producer. And I'm watching the screen a little bit while later, and I'm seeing the 13.5 disappearing. Yeah. I said, I better take to one of those right now. And before you know it, it's 12. I painted 12 across the market, and I actually see 11.5 out there in a couple spots now. So those 13.5s are gone, and I was hoping it would get to 14. I thought there was a chance that by kickoff we would get to 14 on Saturday because betting public loves the Buckeyes. And, Tim, I've said this many times, I think the betting market has overrated the Buckeyes most of the season. Weighing 3.5 at Oregon, weighing almost 2 touchdowns against Indiana, I thought these numbers have been inflated. Now, the Hoosiers have won 10 games against unranked opponents. And a lot of people are going to say, okay, they played a weak schedule, this is going to be a reality check in Columbus. Well, how about this reality check? Ohio State has 1 win against a ranked opponent, and that was 20-13 at Penn State when James Franklin pulled off his classic big game choke job. So if you want to go back to late October, I'm going to give you this. And, you know, you can't score compare or opponent compare. That's not really effective. But this gives you an idea that Indiana can hang with Ohio State. Late October, Buckeyes needed a fourth quarter comeback to beat Nebraska 21-17 in Columbus. The previous week, the Hoosiers beat that same Nebraska team 56-7. So if you look at these two teams on paper, Ohio State tied for first in the nation and scoring defense of 10.3 points per game. You'd say, well, usually in these type of matchups, the far superior defense wins. Well, it's not far superior. Indiana ranks number 7 in the nation in scoring defense at 13.8. Hoosiers also number 2 in scoring offense, 43.9 points per game. Curtis Rourke, veteran quarterback, 72% completions, 21 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. He's been sacked only 10 times all season. Indiana offensive line's done a great job. And, Tim, as you know, this is a balanced offense. They can run it. They can throw it. Hoosiers got receivers who are more than capable of making big plays. I read an analysis from a national column this week, columnist who said, Kurt Cignetti has never coached at a place like the Horseshoe. Like he's going to be freaked out. Kurt Cignetti is not going to be intimidated.
Nothing phases that man.
He's not going to be intimidated walking into the Horseshoe on Saturday. The Hoosiers are not going to be freaked out on the big stage. I think the Hoosiers can hang with the Buckeyes, take 12.5. I think the number is going to go up a little bit more before kickoff on Saturday because I do think the betting public and the Bear are going to be on the Buckeyes. I'm predicting Chris the Bear Fleek is going to be on the Buckeyes like he is in almost every big game.
Kirk Cignetti walked into Assembly Hall and told the world that Purdue sucked, Michigan sucked.
Well, he's right about Purdue this season. And Michigan, too.
Now, when I look at this game, I have not played a side. It's worth noting, as we've talked about, 8-2 ATS are the Hoosiers. They've been tremendous against the spread. Their last game prior to the bye, they did not get there as a 14-point favorite against Michigan. But you mentioned Indiana's defense. And last week, you were on the Purple Cats of Northwestern. I took the under. Your side was a little less sweaty than mine because we had some late drives where we needed some stops and some turnovers, but we got there, thankfully, on the under. Ohio State, EPA rush defense, number 4 in the country. Shouts to my guy Parker Fleming, Stats O' War, great write-ups there and great statistical numbers there. Big news this week out of Columbus. We've known about the left tackle Josh Simmons being done for the year. How about Seth McLaughlin, their center? Done for the year. So now you've got a makeshift offensive line there for Ohio State. I would imagine Kirk Cignetti is going to throw a lot at Will Howard to try to mess with this offensive line. And then thinking back to the Michigan game, Matt, and Michigan by far the best defense that Indiana had faced all year, just 246 yards of offense against Michigan. I think Ohio State, I like this defense. I trust Jim Knowles. And I think this is an under game. You know, 52 was out there at stations here in Las Vegas. I know that's not a national shop. 51.5 is the consensus number. I'm going to take a little piece of the under here, Indiana and Ohio State. Maybe it's similar to what we saw in Penn State and Ohio State a couple weeks ago, where it was 20-13 final. Some dope out there, me, said play the first half under, not the full game under. So clearly what's going to happen is the first half under will happen, and then the full game over will happen. But no, I am on the under here. Indiana, 7-3 to the over. They've been an over team, but game went under against Michigan. Ohio State, 6-4 to the under this year. I will go under, and I think there's a little bit of correlation. Indiana dog taking the points, and hopefully under as well for me.
Well, you know, I've heard a lot of people hold Indiana to a higher standard when you're handicapping this game. Like, well, the Hoosiers really struggled against Michigan. How many teams out there have played their A game week after week after week after week? What did Oregon do last week at Wisconsin? Struggled to pull out a win in the
fourth
quarter.
Trailed by a touchdown going into the fourth quarter.
16-13. You're not going to play your A game every week. And the Hoosiers did their best to fight it off. And, hey, that was a major role reversal where they had been an underdog against Michigan every year since 1968, and all of a sudden a 14-point favorite. So I don't discount or discredit Indiana at all for what happened against the Wolverines, and I think they can hang with the Buckeyes. I'm going to hold to what I believed all season, that the Buckeyes are overrated.
Well, just as we expected, Indiana-Ohio State, the biggest game of Week 13, and then the second biggest game of Week 13, Notre Dame and Army, just like we all predicted preseason, number 19 Army in the latest college football playoff rankings against number 6 Notre Dame. This will be at Yankee Stadium in the Bronx, 7 p.m. on NBC. Noah Eagle, Todd Blackledge will have the call. It's interesting to watch this number kind of ping pong around. It was a look-ahead line at DraftKings at 15.5. Then it got as high as 17, and now it's around 14.5, 14. South Point, as we record here on this Thursday afternoon, is at 14. Notre Dame and Army, have a lot of history. They played at Yankee Stadium a whole bunch, 1946. I know a game that you remember fondly, Matt.
I was there, yeah.
Number 2 versus number 1 at Yankee Stadium, a thrilling 0-0 tie between the Irish and the Black Knights. 2024, this is a Shamrock Series game for the Irish against Army. Bryson Daly was banged up, didn't play against Air Force 3 weeks ago, played against North Texas, ran the ball 36 times in that game. Notre Dame has played, of course, the triple option this year against Navy. Navy imploded, turning the ball over 6 times in that game. You mentioned strength of schedule for Indiana is going to be brought up. That's certainly being brought up here for Army. Strength of schedule, according to Jeff Sagarin, who includes FCS teams, 137 among ESPN and all their analytics, 133. The best team, according to SP Plus, that Army has faced this year is East Carolina. So a big step up in competition, but Army wants to limit possessions, right? They want to run the ball. That's what I would imagine makes laying a number like 14.5 pretty challenging in a spot like this for the Irish.
Yeah, I don't really want to lay the points here, but I think there's a distinct possibility that this number is too low, kind of like the Navy game. You know, we talked about that before, and there were a handicapper I respect said that he made the Notre Dame number 19 right? And the market was around 12. What did that end up closing against Navy?
I think we got to 14.
Did it get to 14?
Double check that.
Anyway, and then the Irish blew away the midshipmen. If you look at the Notre Dame defense, Tim, last five games allowed 7, 13, 14, 3, and 14 points. And Irish have been putting up points, too. Been playing their best football. And I don't want to bet against them right now. And, in fact, unless they're looking ahead, which I don't think they will be, but I am, because you and I are going to be in L.A.
Not lose this game.
You and I are going to be in L.A. on November 30th for Notre Dame-USC at the Coliseum. I'm looking forward to that one. Irish better not be looking ahead to Army. And if they don't, I think they should take care of the Black Knights.
I do not think. I think it is very helpful for the Irish that Army is indeed number 19 in the country, is undefeated. One thing to note, Howard Cross, Notre Dame's best interior defensive lineman, questionable with an ankle injury. My gut tells me he does not play. Last thing I'll note here, it's always hard to scout teams like Army. Well, Notre Dame has been facing their former running quarterback Tyler Buchner in practice, a 6'1", 215 quarterback. He's been running scout for the Irish. So I think the Irish will be prepared. I expect Army to play better, not implode like Navy did. But I think Notre Dame wins this game, but not certainly something I'm looking to get involved in. And I agree with Matt. Let's not mess around. Get this victory and get on out of Dodge so we can be happy going into Los Angeles next Saturday. There's a big one in an NFL stadium in the Midwest. Will Colorado be knocked off their perch by Kansas? We'll discuss that next. Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law. That's pound 529 from your cell phone. Once again, the website, forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
We keep it rolling here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Just a reminder, please rate, review, and subscribe. 3 episodes each and every week in this feed, and we're getting close to the start of the postseason. Bowl season, one of my favorite times of the year. As always, joined by Matt Eumanns. One more game in our main course, and let's head to Arrowhead Stadium, where the Colorado Buffaloes and Coach Prime head to take on the Kansas Jayhawks. Thank you very much, Kansas. Back-to-back winners for you, Mr. Eumanns. One winner for me as they beat BYU last week, 17-13, when we knew that a pooch punt would be the most important thing for our bet to come home. So we get this game, Colorado taking on Kansas. Colorado, think about it this way. They win by 5 against North Dakota State as the double-digit favorite. Do not cover week 1. They go and get their ass kicked by Nebraska. And since then, Colorado, 8-0 straight up, 8-0 against the spread. They are now ranked 16th by the College Football Playoff Committee. Travis Hunter is minus 350 to win the Heisman Trophy. They're minus 125 to win the Big 12. Boy, there's questions and curiosity about, will Coach Prime go and coach Shador in the NFL? Will he be the next head coach of the Dallas Cowboys? And all we want to know is, can he cover against Kansas as a 3-point favorite here? Your thoughts on this one, Kansas, Colorado.
All right, I would answer all those questions by saying no, no, and no. So he is not going to coach the Dallas Cowboys with Shador, because they have Dak Prescott, so the Cowboys are not going to be drafting Shador Sanders. And I do think the Raiders have their sights set on Shador, but I to me it's a far-fetched dream for a lot of people that Deion would be coaching Shador with the Raiders. Deion's not ready to coach an NFL franchise. It would be a train wreck, I think, if that happened. But he has quieted his critics this season, you know, including me. And a lot of others who thought this Colorado team was going to struggle to win 5 games, right? What was the preseason win total in Colorado, Tim? 4.5 or 5.5?
I think it was 5.5.
So Colorado gets to 8-2 right now. But the truth of it is the Buffaloes have zero wins against ranked opponents. Again, we're talking about this again. The two teams they lost to, Nebraska and Kansas State, are pretty disappointing teams. At the same time, Colorado has the best two players on the field in every game it has played and will play, with Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter. And Shedeur has put up big numbers. 73% completions, 27 touchdowns, 7 picks. Offensive line's done a better job protecting him. Everything's, I think, working a little bit better for that Buffalo's offense. At the same time, Tim, I got to stick with the Kansas Jayhawks. Is it better? A lot of time you want to stick with the team that pays you off. I've been on Kansas the last 2 weeks. I'm going to do it 3 weeks in a row. Kansas 3-1 straight up, 4-0 against the spread the past four games. Has held a fourth-quarter lead in all six of his losses. I think Jalen Daniels, the quarterback, has found a groove here late in the season. And when it gets down to it in the fourth quarter, this could be important. Lance Leipold is a better, more experienced game manager than Deion Sanders, who makes a lot of tactical mistakes. You go watch Colorado games, he makes a lot of mistakes. And that stuff's not going to fly in the NFL either. And that's why I don't think he's ready to be an NFL head coach. But Shedeur is going to be a top five pick. I'm going to take the 3 with the Jayhawks, and I expect them to win this game at Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City.
Yeah, I'm going to join you on it. It's not going to be an official play, but I'm betting it. It'll be an official play for you, but I do like Kansas. I was expecting to be more in on this game, but then I watched the BYU game, and I came away a little hesitant regarding Kansas, but I still like Lance Leipold.
What do you mean Kansas defense, though?
Kobe Bryant, by the way, that big interception in the end zone. I do like the corners. We'll see how they play against this Colorado offense, and I think we'll see a better Kansas offensive performance. Once again, not a home game. It's at Arrowhead Stadium, but 3:30 on Fox. Lance Leipold, very strong in that dog role this year, 3-2 ATS as a dog, 1-0 in their lone game as an underdog at home. That was against Iowa State a couple weeks ago, a side that you were on and a pretty easy winner for Kansas just a couple weeks ago.
What I took away from that BYU game last week was that the Kansas defense played great.
Yes.
You know, and that's the one thing you could say, well, the offensive numbers were down. Jalen Daniels didn't have an incredible performance like he did the week before against Iowa State. But I thought the Kansas defense impressed me the most, and that's why I'm going to stick with the Jayhawks here.
All right, there it is. Kansas plus the 3. Make sure you get that 3. There's 2.5s out there. Make sure you get the 3, obviously. A number of books still have 3 available. All right, those are the biggest games that we deem of the week, the main course. But we're not done with our food theme, of course, because we like that spicy food, Matt and I do. So let's get to those games.
Muy caliente.
Spicy matchups.
All right, let's row that damn boat, Matt. Let's go to the Twin Cities, Minnesota. The Gophers are home dogs against Penn State, number 4 in the country. I think you might say the same thing that you've said about the previous two teams. Who have they beaten? Right now, Minnesota catching 11.5 at home against Penn State. 3:30 kickoff Eastern time, 2:30 local on CBS.
Yeah, Tim, what is Penn State's best win? At USC?
USC in overtime.
And it kind of took a miracle for the Trojans to win that game at the Coliseum. Didn't you think USC blew it? I thought USC should have won that game. Ends up losing in overtime. All signs are pointing Penn State to the playoff right now, but don't overlook this game. P.J. Fleck is usually feisty as an underdog. He's got a 6-win team here that could throw up a roadblock. And the Golden Gophers have lost by more than one score only once this season. Defense allowed an average of 18.8 points during that recent four-game win streak against USC, UCLA, Maryland, and Illinois. So defense can do the job here against Penn State. Tim, the question is, can the offense trade punches and stay in the game? Max Brosmer, the capable quarterback. Darius Taylor, one of the better running backs in the Big Ten. I think the Gophers can do enough offensively to stay in this fight for four quarters. Penn State bullies bad teams. Minnesota's not a bad team. I'll take 11.5 with the Gophers. By the way, there's a lot of sharp money on the dog this week. Hopefully that's a good thing.
Yeah, Minnesota coming off a bye, which is always nice to have the Gophers coming off a bye, or any team coming off a bye that you are betting. How about this note, not to dissuade your bet, but our friend the Bear always puts out his notes on social media. He said, since 2020, James Franklin, this is called the sweet spot, because between a favorite of 7 to 17 points, James Franklin, 14-0 against the spread. But I agree with you. I like this defense for Minnesota. I need to see more from Penn State I am going to be on the Gophers as well, so I'm going to tail another play of yours here. Give me the Gophers. What do they say? Sky Yuma. Give me Minnesota in this spot. All right, Matt, this might be the stinkiest line of the entire weekend. Let's head to Auburn, Alabama. War damn Eagle. They're 4-6. It's been a nightmare of a season for Hugh Freeze. Let's be honest. It's been a nightmare of a stretch since he got to Auburn. I don't think Hugh Freeze is a very good coach, to be honest.
Hugh Freeze is one of the biggest phonies in college football, on and off the field.
Well, Texas A&M's coming to town, and they're only laying 2.5 here in this spot. And, you know, a lot of people are wondering if Texas A&M is going to be overlooking Auburn, because next week they've got Hook'em Horns coming to town. Primetime game, college game day, everything in front of them. 5.5-point dogs are the Aggies right now. And Mike Elko was actually asked about this earlier this week. We have the sound of Mike Elko. He is razor focused, of course, on the opponent at hand, right?
There's already so much talk about November 30th, and it was announced as a night game today. How do you deal with that with your guys and saying, hey, we still have something ahead of us at Auburn, or is that even a big issue with your team?
I don't think it's an issue. I think when you're in the situation we're in, it's easy to focus on the task at hand. You know, I think you know, those big games earlier in the year, you know, maybe you look ahead. If we didn't have that stake, what's at stake? Maybe you would worry about it. I think our focus is single-handedly on Texas. I mean, on Auburn right now, and locked in on what we got to get done.
Whoops.
Texas.
I'm sorry. What now? Who are you playing this week, coach? Oh, he quickly cleared it up.
Singular focus on Texas.
Yeah.
They're Auburn.
They know that they know they're focused on Texas. I mean, Auburn. This is... If I didn't bet this game, you know, this is the stinkiest line that ever stunk. So give me Auburn. Hopefully we get their three. There was a three earlier this week at DraftKings. It was a juice three. I was able to grab that. I'll still take the 2.5. It'll be an official play for me. I think they win this game. Auburn does. I think everyone, there's a lot of assuming this time of year, right? You talked about it with Ohio State, Indiana, Notre Dame, and Army. You know, a lot of this is, well, next week. Or in the conference championship. You better be focused here. Auburn has not played well. They're 4-6 this year. How about this nugget from our friend the Bear again? Since 2016, 14 top 15 teams have been favored by a field goal or less against a team with a losing record. Those top 15 teams, 4-10 straight up, 2-11-1 against the spread. BYU was one of those teams last week. Give me War Damn Eagle. Do I love War Damn Eagle this week? No. But I got to take the spot.
Yeah, I think it's a definite look ahead for both Texas and Texas A&M. This is a lot bigger game coming up than anyone outside of Texas realizes. This is a huge game for the Longhorns and Aggies coming up. And actually, I'm going to be with you here. I haven't bet this yet. I was thinking about playing Auburn. I hate teasers in college football, but I was thinking about teasing Auburn up to 8.5 and putting it with something else. I do want to play Auburn, and I also want to play Kentucky against Texas.
Prime time down at Jordan-Hare. What could possibly go wrong for old Giga Maggie?
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Rolling here, it is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Once again, please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcast. By the way, the VSiN Watch app, you can get our podcast there. You can get replays of all VSiN programs. It's right now completely free to watch. It is always free to listen and to download. Get it wherever you get your apps. All right, Matt. We talked about Texas A&M Auburn, night game Jordan-Hare, that game on ESPN. Same time. Stillwater, Oklahoma, number 7, Alabama at Oklahoma.
That's Norman, Oklahoma, actually.
What did I say? Stillwater. My bad. Norman, Oklahoma. What is wrong with me? 7:30 Eastern at ABC. Oklahoma State is in Stillwater. Oklahoma coming off a bye, 1-5 on the year in SEC play. They need another win for bowl eligibility. Jackson Arnold talking earlier this week about how they're going to win this one for the seniors. I think this one, not an official play for me, but I looked long and hard at Oklahoma. I've been burned on Oklahoma a couple times. You and I both had them against Tennessee in that Josh Heupel revenge spot. I like the dog a little bit here, but haven't gotten to the window just yet. Hoping to see if we get a 14, but I do like Oklahoma a bit here against Alabama.
Sorry to correct you on the air, Tim. I didn't want to embarrass you, but, you know, if the guy driving the Sooner Schooner heard you call the Sooners in Stillwater, he would try to run you over. So it's Norman, not Stillwater.
I've been to Norman, Oklahoma.
If the Crimson Tide show up in Stillwater, we got a good chance to cover with the Sooners, and we should take the points. Actually, I'm leaning with you. Actually, I can almost echo exactly what you said. I like the Sooners a little bit, not a lot. That's why it's not going to be on my best bet list here, but I'm probably going to play Oklahoma. I'd like to get 14 here. I don't fully trust the the last time we bet against the Tide when they were on the road and took LSU as a home dog, it didn't work out so well. That's why I'm a little gun-shy here, because we got steamrolled with Brian Kelly and the Tigers in that night game in Baton Rouge. That was Alabama's most impressive performance, maybe aside from the Georgia game in the first half. I like the Sooners a little bit. Not sure I'm going to play it, but I'm leaning that direction. Jackson Arnold just has failed to convince me that he's the quarterback who can win or get the job done for Oklahoma.
Yeah, and we will see. Alabama right now in the driver's seat to go to the SEC championship, where, unless there's chaos, which you and I think there could be with Texas A&M and Auburn, should be the winner of Texas A&M and Texas versus Alabama. All right, one more game in the spicy matchups. Let's go to 3:30 on ESPN. Number 14 BYU at number 21 Arizona State. A lot of importance in this one for the Big 12 championship game. Arizona State, what a surprise they've been, as has BYU. You and I both bet against BYU last week. Initially, I was going to have this spot circled for Arizona State. Now they're laying 3 instead of getting points here. I was hoping, you know, they were going to be potentially getting points in this spot. Not the case. The look ahead, I want to say, was Arizona State 1. It's now a full 3. I like the favorite a little bit here, but I am going to ultimately pass on this one, but I have been very impressed by Kenny Dillingham and his squad this season. But no play for me on this one, but excited to watch this one. Should be a great atmosphere in Tempe.
I think it's going to be an electric atmosphere at Mountain America Stadium, Tim.
It's beautiful.
It's no longer Sun Devil Stadium. It's now Mountain America Stadium. And I was 1 year too soon on Arizona State. Remember, I played the Sun Devils over their one total last year. I liked the Kenny Dillingham hire. Well, they stunk last year. And this year I did not play the win total. Of course, Arizona State has overachieved. Big win for the Sun Devils on the road last week against a very discouraging Kansas State team. But that was a big one for Arizona State to set up this BYU showdown. I was a bit surprised to see this number of 3.5 this week. I was tempted to take the field goal and the hook with the Cougars. Their season is not shot. They can still accomplish a lot here and rebound from that loss to Kansas. And I think that's going to be the message from the coaches to the players this week. I don't think BYU is going to be a deflated team. It shows up like they got nothing to play for. They got a lot to play for. I might end up on the BYU side, but I'm still indifferent right now.
BYU looking ahead. They've got Arizona State, of course, this weekend as a slight dog. And then they finish up the season, regular season, that is, at home against Houston with the chance to go to the Big 12 championship. There's a pretty good late night slate. You and I love the late night slate.
Oh, yeah.
And there's 3 games in this late night slate that I think are all intriguing. We've got bets on all of these games, so let's jump into it. NBC, they've got the doubleheader, late night doubleheader. No Saturday Night Live. It'll be USC-UCLA instead. 10:30 Eastern on NBC. USC right now laying 4.5 or 5. I saw a 5 out there earlier this week. Yeah, it looks like DraftKings does have a 5 on USC. This is an interesting spot. We'll get into your handicap in just a moment, but I talked about it earlier this week about if you have the UCLA win total under, which a number of us do, under 5.5, they're 4-6. Next week, they play Fresno State, which they will be a decent-sized favorite against. Do you take the 4.5 or 5 and hope for a middle situation, win your season win total under, as well as win this bet? Or do you just focus on the simple handicap of the game at hand? And I think that's your thought process heading into this one.
Yeah, you know, when it comes to win totals, I bet 10 of them. I'm in pretty good position to win about 5, let's say. I'm not going to sit here and sweat the UCLA. If it loses, it loses, right? You're going to probably break, when it's all said and done on the win totals, probably going to break out somewhere around even, hopefully a little bit ahead. So I want to handicap this game independently of the win total bet. Sure, I'd like to win the win total, but here I'm a little surprised USC is a 4.5-point favorite. I actually made this number, Right around two. Mm-hmm. I thought anywhere between 1.5 to 2.5 looked like it was going to be the right number to me. But Jaden Maiava, the UNLV transfer, gets his first start last week for USC, a quarterback. And everything looks pretty good if you look at the box score. But when I watched the game, he threw an early pick six. He threw a couple other passes that could have been picked off. He is a turnover-prone quarterback. When he was at UNLV, he had a tendency to make mistakes and be careless with the football. And that could show up in a game like this. So don't buy the hype on Jaden Maiava just yet. I think the key player for USC is going to be Woody Marks. Last week against Nebraska, 146 yards on the ground. USC won that game 28-20. Tim, I'm sure you watched it.
Yep.
Trojans were life and death to beat Nebraska on their home field last week. That's not a good sign, and that's why I'm not fully buying into USC here. So I said Woody Marks is going to be the key player for USC. The Bruins held Iowa running back Caleb Johnson to 49 yards on 18 carries. Caleb Johnson's one of the best running backs in the Big Ten in the country. If the Bruins can hold him down, they can hold down Woody Marks, and that's the key to winning this game. USC's or UCLA's won 3 of 4 to get to 4-6. Stunning to you, to me, and everyone else. I didn't think there was a chance this UCLA team was going to get to 4 or 5 wins. Now chasing bowl eligibility, just like USC, so the motivation is the same on both sides. I think this shapes up as a one-score game, hopefully decided by a field goal late, taking the 4.5, or DraftKings has 5 with UCLA.
USC has lost 7 straight games against the spread as a road favorite. Lincoln Riley has not fared all that well as a road favorite. All right, staying in that late night window, 10:30 Eastern, CBS Sports Network. You've got Colorado State at Fresno State. This is a massive game for Mountain West implications. Colorado State undefeated in Mountain West play, 5-0, and they're going on the road to Fresno State against, hey, let's be honest, a disappointing season for the Bulldogs. Prior to the start of the season, they find out that Jeff Tedford is going to retire due to medical concerns. Tim Skipper steps in on the interim basis. They have some ups and downs. They get their absolute butts whipped here in Las Vegas, a side that you and I both loved, UNLV, when they went to Haji Malik Williams. They blow a big lead to Hawaii. They lose to Air Force, but they're coming off a bye here. They're 5-5, and to me, this feels like a very buy low, sell high opportunity. I think Colorado State, credit to them, they were the better team last Friday night against Wyoming. But if you look inside some of those box scores of the previous 4 Mountain West wins, you could see some a little bit of fraudulent, you know, nature in that one for Colorado State. I just don't think this Colorado State team is all that great for the Mountain West. And is there a little bit of selfishness in me that I want to see UNLV Boise State again because that'll be a better game? Yeah, absolutely. But I'm not betting solely on that. I think this is a good spot for Fresno State. There are threes out there. Earlier in the week, Matt, I laid $1.42 on the money line. I've also laid 3. Don't lay the 3.5. You can find some threes out there. I think Fresno State gets it done. I think Mikey Keene can have a big game through the air against Colorado State. Colorado State's strong defensively against the run. I think they can be had through the air. I like Fresno State here laying the 3 against the Rams at home.
I hope you're right. I've been wrong about the Rams on or against them 4 times, so I'm not going to play this game because I tend to be on the wrong side no matter what with this Colorado State team. And I think the Rams are frauds. They played a weak schedule in the Mountain West. They've won 5 in a row, but they've done it against some of the weakest teams in the conference. Have not had to play Boise, have not had to play San Diego State or UNLV or Hawaii on the road. It's been an ideal schedule for the Rams. I think a lot of times you got to read between the lines. When Fresno comes out as a 3-point favorite, that surprised me a little bit. And it tells me that Fresno is probably the right side, but I'm not going to play.
And it goes up to 3.5 pretty much at most shops, including Circa. Avery Morrow and Justin Marshall, 2 pretty solid running backs, a little bit nicked up. They'll obviously play, but we'll see how healthy they are heading into this game against Fresno. Go Bulldogs. Get it done for all of us. The college football world doesn't want Colorado State and Boise State on the Smurf turf. We want UNLV and Boise State. All right, one more late night game, and the best of the rest as we put a bow on the show is the College Football Betting Podcast. Hey, folks, just a reminder, when we bid farewell, we're lying. We will be talking about the Friday games. Matt and I will run through a pretty light card on Friday, but we'll hit all those Friday games. So stick around after the best bets recap for a little Friday Night Lights.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Keep it rolling here. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. We're at the D in downtown Las Vegas, Nevada, alongside Matt Eumanns. I am Tim Murray. All right, the late night slate, a best bet for Matt on UCLA plus the points. A best bet for me, Fresno State, lay the three or the money line, however you want to determine to go about it. Air Force in Nevada. Air Force got me to the window last week. Thank you. Easy winner. Nothing like a 28-0 whooping of Oregon State. They're catching points again up the street, about 7 hours, up to Nevada. What do you like at Air Force Nevada, 10:30 on FS1?
Well, I kind of compare Air Force to Kansas. Teams are getting hot late in the season and kind of found themselves. And Air Force ran over Oregon State and Fresno State the last 2 weeks with a total of 615 rushing yards, Tim. And they've switched quarterbacks a couple times this season, but gone back to Quentin Hayes, and I think that's made the Falcons' offense a lot more effective here. Defense pitched a shutout against the Beavers a week ago. Wolfpack have lost four straight. They look like a tired team, really banged up with injuries. I'm a bit surprised this number moved to 3.5. I think you had Brad Powers on VSiN primetime, and he likes Nevada, right?
A little bit, yep.
I like Air Force here. You had a good call on the Falcons last week. I've been on the Falcons a couple times here. Let's go with the ground and pound offense on a cold night in Reno. It could be cold and windy, and that's going to help the team with the stronger running game, and that's Air Force. So I'm taking the 3.5 with the Falcons.
All right, let's run through the rest of the board. I got a couple other plays still to unload here, but let's just do some quick hitters here. Let's go noon Eastern, bunch of noon Eastern games. You know, the noon window, very solid this week. We talked about Indiana, Ohio State, ABC, Ole Miss, Florida. A lot of money coming in on Ole Miss this week, out to 11.5 in a number of spots. Brad Powers, you spoke of him. He does a weekly hit on VSiN Primetime on Wednesdays. At the time, the number was 10. He loved Ole Miss in this spot. That kind of kept me off. Initially, I was thinking Florida. I'll stay away from this one. Ole Miss at Florida, noon Eastern. Any thoughts?
Well, a couple I guess podcast listeners early in the season said, no more Billy Napier. Stop it. Stop it with the Florida play. So I stopped. And then the Gators started to cover some games, right? So that's why sometimes you get stubborn and stick with teams. But no, I'm off the Gators here. And I've got a significant investment in Ole Miss to be a playoff team. And Ole Miss go over its win total. So that's kind of my bet on this game. I really need Ole Miss to win it, and that's what I'm going to play. I'm not going to hedge as far as I think right now with Florida. Ole Miss should take care of business in this spot against a Gators team that I am not buying into. Even though Billy Napier saved his job, I think that was more for financial reasons.
Florida had Billy.
A giant buyout, right?
And $40-plus million.
Yeah, I don't think many athletic departments want to buy out a coach for $40 million.
And DJ Lagway would have no doubt hit the portal if he did leave. All right, how about SMU at Virginia? You know, it's a time of year where the pressure is starting to sink in on teams who haven't been there before. SMU, one of those teams, certainly. They won the AAC last year. Now they're in line to go to the ACC championship game. And they've got to go on the road to Virginia. I think this is a tricky spot. At 1-10, you could buy to 10, maybe wait it out, see how it all plays out. But for the podcast purpose, I'm going to take 9.5 with Virginia. I think this team fights. Anthony Calandria, I'm worried about the turnovers. He was a turnover monster last week against Notre Dame. But I like Tony Elliott here in this spot. They fared well as a dog under Tony Elliott down there in Charlottesville. They're at home. I think the pressure might sink in a little bit here on SMU. Worth noting, and I looked this up, teams the week after playing Notre Dame are 0-8 ATS this year. So there might be a little bit of that body blow theory. But, you know, for SMU, it's been a phenomenal season. They're going to the ACC championship more than likely. But, you know, the schedule, Florida State, Louisville, Stanford, Duke, Pitt, Boston College. The Duke game was miraculous that they won it. I'm going to take the points here. Hopefully we get 10, but it'll still be official play for me, 9.5 on the Hoos. Also in that noon window, Matt, Iowa at Maryland. Both you and I have a win total over for Iowa. I need them to win out. They need to beat Maryland. They need to beat Nebraska to wrap up the season. And it'll be Jackson Stratton who will be the starting quarterback for Iowa. Things are falling apart there for the Hawkeyes. Maryland was actually on the short list. I looked at them a little bit here as a dog.
Yeah, I did not really consider laying the points for the Hawkeyes here because the quarterback situation is a quandary for the Hawkeyes. They're going to have to lean on Caleb Johnson and the defense to get the job done. That's possible, but it would be Terps or pass for me, and I'm going to pass for now.
One of, I think, the best situational spots of the entire weekend is up at the JMA Dome, formerly known as the Carrier Dome. Let's run through this. Cal last week hosted Syracuse. The Cuse went out there as a double-digit dog, won the game on the field. Next week, Syracuse will host Miami as a double-digit dog and a really great opportunity for Fran Brown's squad. This week, they got to play UConn. UConn coming off a bye. They're catching double digits. And you know Jim Mora Jr. will have his team ready to go. The last time UConn played a ACC foe, Jim Mora Jr. had about a 50-second rant postgame ripping ACC officials. He said, I'm proud of them for fighting back. We've got to make sure we put ourselves in position where it doesn't come down to one play where an ACC team makes a horse beep call against an independent. I think UConn's actually a decent football team, and I think they'll be ready to go. This is a sleepy spot for Syracuse. Give me the points. I like UConn here. Double digits.
Yeah, that's good analysis of the game. By the way, we've seen ACC officials do everything they can to help out the Miami Hurricanes this season. But I'm with you. I would take UConn plus 10.5 if I play it.
Yeah, for me, in this particular spot, worth noting, too, just ACC officials completely botched a fake punt last week, which was going to be a touchdown for Notre Dame against Virginia. Oh, yeah. They have no idea what they're doing. Also in the noon window, not a bet for me, bet for Wes Reynolds. He came on the podcast Wednesday. He likes BC plus 3 against North Carolina, noon Eastern on the CW. All right, last one I wanted to hit on, Matt, before we get our best bets recap. I have bet this game. It won't be an official best bet. Nebraska, can they do it, Matt? Can they finally get the bowl eligibility? They have lost 9 straight games with 5 wins, trying to get the bowl eligibility. Mm-hmm. They have not been bowl eligible since 2016. Wisconsin, I think this is a massive letdown spot for the Badgers. They were up a touchdown going into the fourth quarter against number 1 Oregon. They lose that game. They fire their offensive coordinator and Phil Longo. Luke Fickell had some bizarre comments about the importance of an offensive coordinator this week. So give me Nebraska on the money line, not an official play. There was money that came in on Wisconsin this earlier today. So that spooked me a little bit, but I think the Cornhuskers finally get to 6 wins.
I might be with you here. I still got to think about this game a little bit the next couple of days. It always scares me when a favorite is laying less than 3,
yeah,
because that indicates it's a very fragile favorite when you get a home favorite laying less than 3. But I think the Cornhuskers get the job done, get to a bowl. And I also think the Badgers kind of shot what they had left last week against Oregon, trying to pull that upset in Madison, and they came up short. Now, the offense leaves a lot to be desired when you're watching Wisconsin. I think Nebraska should be able to win this game. So I don't disagree with your play here. I might end up on the Cornhuskers.
I know Wisconsin fans still not happy about the chop block call late in that one.
Well, that was a bad call.
That was a terrible call. But at least they got to the window for you. Easy winner there.
Maybe
for
Big Ten
Wisconsin.
Officials were trying to help out the Ducks.
Yeah, maybe something there. All right. That's going to do it for all of our official plays. So let's make it nice and tidy to get on out of here with a little best bet recap.
Best bets recap.
All right, Mr. Humans, 5 games on the card. The floor is yours.
Indiana. And when I sent this in this morning, it was 13.5. Now 12, the best number you can get. So we'll call it 12 with the Hoosiers. I don't think they're going to be freaked out by the big stage. And I've believed all season the Buckeyes are overrated in the betting market, especially in the game in Oregon when they were laying 3.5. And here, I was hoping this number would get to 14. Didn't get there. I did take 13.5 with Indiana. Minnesota plus 11.5. So we got one Big Ten road dog, one Big Ten home dog, and the Gophers, P.J. Fleck. Let's get us there against Penn State.
Row the boat.
Kansas for the 3rd week in a row. Jayhawks plus 3 against Coach Prime. That game is at Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City. And the Jayhawks are a team that's getting hot here late in the season, just like Air Force. The Falcons have piled up 615 rushing yards in the past two games. And, Tim, weather's going to be cold in Reno on Saturday night. The Air Force ground and pound rushing offense hopefully gets us to the win column, +3.5, and UCLA +4.5 against USC at the Rose Bowl.
All right. I have five plays as well. I also like, as we just talked about, I do like Nebraska. I also like Oklahoma a little bit. Maybe we get a 14, but here are my five best bets. Lay in the three with Fresno State. Make sure you get that three out there. A lot of 3.5s, but there are threes available. Hopefully we get the three for War Damn Eagle, but man, that line is stinky poo. Give me Auburn +2.5 against Texas A&M. UConn +10.5 against Syracuse up at the Dome. Virginia +9.5 against SMU. And we'll go under the total in Ohio State, Indiana, 51.5, the number out there. All right, that's going to do it for the podcast. For Matt Humans, I'm Tim Murray. Thanks to Wyatt. Thanks to Ryan. Thanks to Sean. Matt. We want winners?
We want winners.
Let's get some winners. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
All right, Matt, three games on the Friday card. We've got Temple at UTSA, Purdue at Michigan State, and UNLV at San Jose State. Let's start with the late night game. San Jose State hosting UNLV. San Jose State, as we know, painful loss and defeat. Had the ball at the 1 yard line, the pick six, all of that. But they're a 7.5 point home dog. They were a 14 point dog last week, close 14.5. Do you dare jump back on the Spartans here against UNLV?
I am not. I'm still a little bit sick, Tim, from what happened last week with San Jose +14.5. And you're up 14-0. You're up 7 late in the third quarter. And I don't want to relive it. All right, so I'll stop there.
All right.
But after a team burns you that badly, do you think you're going to come back with them again the next week? Some would say maybe you should. I have a short memory. I'm not going to do it. Right now, I hate San Jose State with everything. And I'm hoping UNLV beats them by 50. Seriously. Rub Coach Ken's face in the dirt for being an idiot at the 1 yard line when you had a chance to get the backdoor cover. I hope the Rebels roll and destroy this team. I'm going to put UNLV on a money line parlay of some sort. Maybe I'll tease it. Maybe tease Auburn up to 8.5 and UNLV down to 1.5. Something like that. I do want to have a little bit of action on the Rebels. It's a big game for them, and they know it, because if your pick comes through on Fresno State, the Rebels are going to be in the Mountain West title game against Boise, and that's what they're playing for here.
Yeah, and we had a discussion on Primetime about if you're Boise State, who would you rather play? Because the easier opponent is Colorado State. However, if you're trying to get that bye, it would be better for your resume to play UNLV again. So I think it's an interesting discussion.
I think they want to play Colorado State.
I would think that, the easier
play
path.
Play it safe.
Yeah.
Beat the Rams. Get into the playoff. And that's probably the way Boise would prefer it to happen. But, hey, last week I played that San Diego State UNLV game over the total of 54. Hodge Malik Williams, Ricky White. This UNLV offense has got a bunch of playmakers and a lot of speed. The Rebels are a dangerous team. I think they're going to be too much for San Jose here. I just don't want to lay the 7.5.
Yeah, if UNLV doesn't get to the Mountain West Championship game, it looks like a lot of projections have them in that L.A. Bowl where they'll be taking on a Big Ten or, you know, one of the Pac-2 teams. So that would be a fun game for UNLV at SoFi Stadium. That game at 10 o'clock Eastern, FS1. Purdue, Michigan State, disgusting game for network television. You've always had a pretty good feel on Purdue and Michigan State. Purdue is just an absolute train wreck this year. Their lone win came week one against Indiana State. They had that bye week, and since then, my God, it's been gross. 59-point loss to Notre Dame, 17-point loss to Oregon. It's ugly. Any interest here in this game? Michigan State laying 13.5.
A train wreck for the Boilermakers is an understatement. This is probably the second worst season in the history of Purdue football. So, no, I'm not taking a point. Somebody asked last week, is Ryan Walters, the coach, on the hot seat? I don't know. Is an electric chair hot? I think Ryan Walters should have been fired at halftime of the Notre Dame game, to be honest. I would have probably fired him at halftime of the Notre Dame game when it was 42-0 at halftime.
Something like that.
Oh, it's just a complete embarrassment. So, no, I'm not going to bet on a bad team like this. I know that this, you could say, well, the incentive is this is the last winnable Big Ten game because Purdue's not going to beat Indiana next week. Well, they had winnable Big Ten games against Illinois, against Northwestern, a couple other opponents, and came up short. They could come up short here, too. Jonathan Smith is just a much better coach. He's going to have his team well prepared here in this spot. Spartans need to win, too. And Michigan State's going to get the win. I really don't want to lay 13.5 with the Spartans, but I'm not taking them with the underdog here.
All right. The first game on Friday night is a lovely matchup down at the Alamo Dome as Temple takes on UTSA. I bring up this game because the fired coach bump this year is 4-0 against the spread. I did not anticipate Kennesaw State last week to get a cover against Sam Houston State, nor did the market. The market bet Sam Houston State a full touchdown from the opening number, and the game went to overtime. So East Carolina, Southern Miss, Rice, and Kennesaw State have all covered the game following their head coach being fired. Stan Drayton, the head coach of Temple, despite Temple winning and going over their season win total last week, they fired Stan Drayton. They play UTSA. They're catching 16.5. Other coaches fired this week. Don Brown fired from UMass. They're catching 42 at Georgia. Tom Herman and Biff Pogge were fired. So something's got to give there. And then Mike New fired from Ball State as they take on Bowling Green. So we'll see if the trend continues. As mentioned, 4-0 against the spread. Our teams fresh off of a head coach firing. That's all I got for you. I'm not going to bet Temple here, but maybe you do. Maybe you get the fired coach bump here, and they show some feistiness at UTSA.
You know, a lot of times I really do like that angle. And, Tim, I want you to track all those teams this week. And let's update that next week because I think that's actually worthwhile information. I'm not planning on playing any of those teams either, but I think it's something you definitely should watch as a handicapper because I always have liked that angle. Maybe if Purdue fires Ryan Walters on Friday, you want to bet Purdue on Saturday or Friday afternoon, you can play him Friday night. But I don't think that's going to happen at this point.
No, I do not think that is that's going to be the case. We'll see if another double-digit dog comes home. They've come home every single week so far. Four double-digit dogs came home outright last week. All right, that's going to do it for the podcast. Please, as always, rate, review, and subscribe. A unique week next week for Thanksgiving. We'll have an episode on Tuesday, and then we'll combine the Wednesday and Thursday episode. Wes Reynolds will join us, and Matt will send in his best bets as well. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. This has been the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.